Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, Four Steps to a Better Life. We're looking at four ways that we can make our life better, more meaningful, more purposeful in this coming year. And we're doing that by starting in Ephesians and Colossians, in Paul's epistles to those two assemblies, and Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and turn there with us to those two passages. And as you do so, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information on how you can contact us if you have any questions or comments about what you hear today on the program. Or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies, just write and request the series on a better life. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, Ephesians and Colossians, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. And as we've been telling you, these two passages of Scripture are parallel passages in Paul's epistles. They deal with the same issues, but they do so with a slightly different wording and a slightly different introduction, so that really God is teaching us an important principle here in comparing the two passages. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And as we've been seeing the past weeks, we've been writing those two things on the board. One admonition of Paul is to be filled with the Spirit. The other admonition in the book of Colossians is to let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let the Word dwell in you. And the thing that is important about these two passages to understand is that when Paul talks to us about the results of being filled with the Spirit, the results of having the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, we're going to find that that list in each case is the same. So in Ephesians chapter 5, what follows being filled with the Spirit is in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In verse 20, giving thanks to God and the Father. And in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In Colossians chapter 3, what follows that admonition about letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is in verse 16, the end of the verse, speaking, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In verse 17, giving thanks to God by the and the Father by Him. And then in verse 18, Paul begins with a list of various types of submission. Wives, submit to your husbands, children to your parents, servants to your masters, and so on and so forth. So in each case, when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit, and then he says in Colossians chapter 3, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he gives you a list of things that are the outgrowth of that filling or of that dwelling. And in each case, that list is the same. That is, that we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, that we give thanks, that we're thankful to God, and finally, that we submit. The final issue is submission. And since being filled with the Spirit produces these things, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly produces these things, we saw in our first week's study in this topic that those two things in Scripture are equal. That when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he's saying the same thing. That the way that the Spirit fills you today, especially in the dispensation of grace, when we have a completed Word of God, every Word of God in a book for us to understand and read, the faith has been unified in a book, that perfect thing has come. In this dispensation of grace, the way to achieve the filling of the Spirit is to have the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You don't achieve the filling of the Spirit by just going out and sitting down on a tree stump somewhere and praying for the Spirit to come fill you. You do it by the study of God's Word. And as you place the truth of God's Word into your mind and pray it down into your heart, it fills you, and that is the information, the truth of the Spirit of God filling you. So you become filled with the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, and the Spirit then also is filling you. Now, we started off that our study that first week, understanding that the filling of the Spirit and the Word of Christ dwelling in you are equal, and the results of all of those. So the first issue, four steps to a better life, the first step is get a life. Where is life? In the pages of God's Word. In the pages of God's Word, you find the life of Christ, and you can access the life of Christ. If you're lost, the pages, the information in God's Word can bring you to eternal life. If you're saved, but you need to know how to live your life, God's Word says that God's Word effectually worketh in you that believe. And as you believe God's Word and trust God's Word, that verse that you believe and trust will work in your heart and in your life. So the first step to living a better life, to having a better life, is to get a life, to acknowledge that the source of life is the Word of God, and to go to that source of life for your salvation and for your guidance in daily living. Second, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We talked about this last week, and we titled it, Talk to Yourself. Oftentimes, talking to yourself is not considered a sign of good mental health, perhaps, but it is good spiritual health. Paul tells us speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We saw that the reason for music, the reason God created music and created us as musical beings that respond to music is to have a way to proclaim His truth. Music is to teach and admonish one another. Music is to present the truth of God's Word, put to melody, singing with melody in your hearts. If you take the truth of God's Word, put it to a melody, it makes that truth easier to remember and easier to recall. We used the illustration last week of commercial jingles. You know, they'll take the selling point of some product and they put it to music. And when they put it to music, we remember it better. You can remember a commercial jingle years and years and years after the last time you saw that commercial, you still remember that little jingle and the little song that went with it. And that's because our mind grabs onto that music, grabs onto that melody line, and remembers the words that go with it. And when we take the truth of God and put it to music, that works the same way. That allows us to remember and rehearse and receive that truth of that information because it's put to the melody. Now today, we want to talk about the third step. The first step is get a life, understand where the source of life is, the Word of God. Second step is talk to yourself. Take that information in God's Word and speak it over and over and over again to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And third, be thankful. Be thankful. You know, if there's one characteristic that we might say is symptomatic of the world today and even of believers, it is there's no giving of thanks. People are constantly complaining about things, aren't they? Complaining about this, complaining about that, bitter about this, bitter about that. Paul says that we're to be thankful people. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, how in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God for all things in the name of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever ye do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God and the Father by Him. That tells you something right away. Anything that you can't do in the name of the Lord Jesus, you ought not to be doing. If you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, then do it. If not, then it's not something you ought to be doing. And as you do it, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you're doing, it should be something you can be thankful to God for. And if it's not, you ought not to be doing it.
So in Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5, that next issue that Paul deals with is giving of thanks. And the reason that's so important, the reason that is part of having a better life, is that it affects your whole outlook on things. If you view things in life as things to be thankful for, if you view your life as a life of thanksgiving, it makes your outlook and your attitude different. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Here's one of the reasons that's true. One of the basic failures of mankind, when mankind turned away from God and did not acknowledge God, the first symptom of that is that mankind ceased being thankful to God. Ceased being thankful that God was his source of life, that God was the source of all blessing, that God is the source of everything. And everything that we have, we should give thanks. Paul says that everything that God has put here is for us, for meat, for food, if it is received with thanksgiving. If we acknowledge, yeah, that's why it's here. It's not that God killed the turkey and put it on your table for you, but God created that turkey or created that cow or created that fish, whatever it is, created those plants that you eat, and he created them to be here for your use. And it's proper to give thanks to him. Listen to Romans 1 at what mankind did as it turned away from God. Romans 1 verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that," now why is mankind without excuse? Listen, "because that," verse 21, "when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But they changed the glory of God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They knew God, they knew who he was, they knew that he was the creator, they knew that he was the source of all life, and yet, in spite of the fact that they knew that, they glorified him, they didn't give him the glory, and they were not thankful to him. And the source of mankind's rebellion against God can be found there, in that verse. That they knew God, they understood who he was, that he was the creator and the sustainer of life, but instead of being thankful to God for that, they were vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, they changed the glory of God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And that same lack of thankfulness we can see in Lucifer, in the one that led humanity and that encouraged humanity to turn away from God. He also had that problem of a lack of thankfulness. Turn with me, if you will, back to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, and we looked at Ezekiel 28 last week in our study as we looked at the creation of Lucifer and how he was created to be a musical being. Well, we want to look a little more at that creation today and just understand the glory that Lucifer has, the glory that God put in him in his creation. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." You read that description there of Lucifer, the glorious covering, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire. He, the workmanship of his tabrets and his pipes. He's the anointed cherub that covers. He's in the holy mountain of God. He walks up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He is perfect in his ways from the day that he's created until that iniquity was found in his heart. Why was the iniquity found in his heart? Because he looked at himself. Keep your hand right here in Ezekiel and go back just to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. And listen to what Lucifer says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, as Lucifer looked at himself, as it were, as Lucifer looked at himself full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, his heart becomes lifted up with pride. As Lucifer looked at himself as the anointed cherub that covereth, as Lucifer looked at himself as the wisest being that God had ever created. Now, not wiser than the Creator, but the wisest being that God had ever created. As he looked at that, rather than saying, I thank God for the way he's made me. I thank God that he made me this way. I thank God that he made me beautiful. I thank God that he made me wise. I thank God that he gave me this precious covering. I thank God for all of that. Instead, he said, I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Instead of acknowledging all the things that he had as coming from God, instead of acknowledging that this wisdom and this beauty and all that I have are from God, he rather made it a point of pride. And Lucifer's heart was lifted up with pride because of his beauty. And that pride caused him, rather than to be thankful for what he had received, rather than to be thankful for what God had given him, rather than to be thankful for how God had made him, it caused him to say, well, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'll bet I can be like the Most High God. And what you see in Lucifer is a failure to give thanks. Lucifer was created, as we saw last week, to lead the heavenly choirs in speaking forth the word of God, in speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, proclaiming the works of God. And yet what happens, because of this failing, because he failed to give thanks, he began to elevate himself rather than to be thankful for God. And the way God had made him, he began to elevate himself. Turn with me, if you will, back to Romans chapter 1. And notice, when Lucifer does that, he elevates himself. And we already saw what mankind begins to do in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also hath given them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now listen to verse 25, and listen to how verse 25 fits in with what Lucifer did, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What did mankind do? Well, verse 21, as we saw earlier, they were not thankful. They weren't thankful to God for what He had done, how He had made them, that He's the source of all life. Meanwhile, Lucifer, he's not thankful either. And his heart is lifted up with pride, and he says, I will be like the Most High. And mankind's lack of thankfulness to the true God and Lucifer's proclaiming of himself to be God, I will be like the Most High, those two went together hand in glove. And mankind ended up worshiping and serving the creature, Lucifer, that created being, more than himself. And mankind worships and serves not only Lucifer, but mankind worships and serves himself also, makes himself his own God. But ultimately, all of that self-righteousness and all of that self-worth and all of that self-elevation plays right into Lucifer's plan. Because that's exactly what Lucifer is doing. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Turn to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. That lack of thanksgiving ends in one place. It ends when Lucifer, who has now fallen and become Satan, is in perfect league with mankind who has rebelled against God and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. In the form of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, he's called here in 2 Thessalonians, man and Satan combine together to ultimately declare their absolute rebellion and lack of need for the true God. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Talks about that mystery of iniquity that's out there, that's at work. But what's that mystery of iniquity end up in? Well, look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Without going into great detail about this passage, in that 70th week of Daniel, there's one that comes on the scene, the man of sin. We call him oftentimes, generically, sort of the Antichrist. But the man of sin comes on the scene. He rules for 3.5 years, that first half of Daniel's 70th week. And then Revelation tells us he has a deadly wound that is healed. And he receives that deadly wound. He dies and he's resurrected again. And when he's resurrected, Satan enters into him and Satan gives him his power and his seat and his great authority. And he becomes the son of perdition. The only man in the Bible called the son of perdition is Judas. He's called that because Satan entered into him. When Jesus gave him the sop, Satan entered into him. That son of perdition, that one that's under the control of Satan, you have Satan incarnate. You have Satan, the one that said, I will ascend. You have a man, the man of sin, that is leading the world and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. And they come together and they march into the temple of God and declare, show himself that he is God. And the root of all of that is they were not thankful. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Is thankfulness a problem that you have? You know, when you get involved in the daily grind and the circumstances and the situations and the problems and the trials and the difficulties of life, sometimes it can be very easy not to be thankful. It can be very easy to ask the question, well, what do I have to be thankful for? But if you're a believer today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. you have the assurance that all things work together for good to them who love God, that God is working things together for your good and His glory in spite of what goes on out there in the world. In spite of the problems and the trials and the difficulties and the tribulations and the trials that you have, God is working things together for your good and His glory. You have the assurance that you're forgiven, that you're redeemed, that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, that you've received an inheritance in Christ. All of that is guaranteed to you, and all of that is what should cause you to be thankful. Not to be focusing on the things that we see, but on the things that we can't see. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to focus on those things not seen, those blessings that we have in Christ, and give thanks. And that'll lead you to a better life. That's one of the steps to a better life. First, get a life. Understand where life is in God's Word. Second, talk to yourself. Take the truth in God's Word and rehearse it. Get it in your mind and live by it. Third, give thanks. Focus on what you have in Christ and be thankful for it and to the one that gave it to you. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments you might have about our program. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. As I said, if you have questions or comments, also if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, simply write and request the series On a Better Life. We'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Just request, as I said, the series On a Better Life, and we'll get it out to you. We'd also like to invite you to be tuned in again next week, same station, when we will continue and conclude this series of studies. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.